Amen. So I will never forget my first day of school going to kindergarten. So I specifically remember being nervous about school. I didn't know what to expect. I had never been to school. Would I know anybody? Would the teacher be nice? What if I didn't like it? What if I did the wrong thing and everyone made fun of me? What if I wore the wrong shoes? I mean, what if I even said the wrong thing and offended the wrong person and it costed me a job interview later on in life? You know, I had all the emotions and anxiety that you get when you are stepping into something new. And so on that day, I get to the bus stop. I'm with my mother and I panic. And I throw one of those tantrums that five-year-olds like to throw. And so I was screaming, I was whining, I was spitting, foam was probably coming out of my mouth. And was I upset about going to the school anymore? And the truth is, I wasn't. That wasn't the problem anymore. I was actually upset to find that at the bus stop was this creature that was different than me. It was a girl. I was afraid of this girl. And I didn't know her, but I did know that she was definitely not a boy. And so I panicked, and I began begging and pleading to not have to go to school on this bus with this girl, this creature that was different. I mean, what if she wanted to talk to me or something terrible like that? And so my mom, she relented. She actually took me across the street, and we waited for the bus, like, from a safe distance where I could stay comfortable and I could like stare down this other sort of creature. And I still remember standing across the street and just staring at this girl. I hadn't considered that there would be girls in my kindergarten class. Well, if you were wondering, I did get over my fear of girls, and eventually I even got married to one, and now we have two daughters. So if you find that you are afraid of girls, I just want you to know this is a fear that can be conquered. You see, the first day of kindergarten, it was actually just too much for me. I couldn't handle it. There was just too much uncertainty about what might happen. There was this fear of the unknown. And so I freaked. It was an uncertain time for me. And if you were here last week, you might remember that we said that life is filled with uncertainty that brings anxiety. And we also said, God is our rescuer and our peace in these moments. And so, if you remember Psalm 20, it was written for uncertain times. It was written as a prayer, and last week we saw that it's a liturgy for uncertain times. It was written for battle. And so, the army, they're Israel, they're going into battle, and the battle hadn't happened yet, and they knew that some would die, others would live, and they didn't know if they would win the battle and conquer the other army, or if they were going to be conquered. And so you can imagine the feelings of uncertainty that they must have felt. It's probably much worse than having a girl at the bus stop. But what we see in this chapter, in this psalm, is a model for how we can engage with God during uncertain times. When we have that anxiety, that panic attack, like the psalm gives us a model for this is how we can approach God. And so I'm going to read the entire psalm, and then we're actually just going to walk through verses 6 through 9 together, because we looked at the first five verses last week. Psalm 20. It reads, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call." It's God's word. So the question that we are answering from this psalm, if you remember, is this, is how should we respond during uncertain times? And last week we saw that the first thing we need to do, like when we're uncertain about the future and anxiety just seems too much for us to bear and it's on our shoulders, the first thing we have to do is we turn to God. And we see this actually in the first five verses, and we talked about that last week. So if you weren't here, it's online, you can listen to it. But we have two more things in this psalm that we can do. And the second thing is this: we can remember God's promises are sure. His promises are sure. And so what I'm saying here is that when we are filled with anxiety, when there is uncertainty and it is crushing, what we need to do is we need to park our minds on what is actually true. David Pallison, in a book all about anxiety, says this. He says, anxiety is full of lies. What are some of them? First, you believe the world needs to be under your control. That's the first lie. And second, you think it is out of control. And third, you imagine that your worry will get it under control. But the truth is that this is God's world. So it is vital that what we do is we point our minds to what is true, because anxiety is always telling us a lie. And so what is true is actually from God. And what is most comforting during times of anxiety and uncertainty are the wonderful promises that, you know what? God is our rescuer. He's the one that can save. It's not me. It's not us. It's not you. And so look at a wonderful promise in the New Testament. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so there's the promise. God actually commands us. He tells us not to be anxious. And in doing that, he's telling us, like, stop believing the lies that anxiety is telling you. He wants us to make our needs known to him. And when we do this, what he does is he gives us peace. And so this should bring us great assurance when we are facing something that's uncertainty. We can have peace. But we have to get to a place where we're actually trusting God only and nothing else. Look at verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 20. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. And then it says this, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we stand upright. And so what these verses are doing is they're getting to the heart of the matter for us when we're facing uncertainty in our lives. You know, the verb that's translated as trust is getting at the people's commitment to God. And there's a strong contrast that's made between those who trust in God and those who actually trust in other things. You see, the psalm is talking about opposing nations and who are putting their hopes in their chariots and horses, like their war devices. They are placing their trust in the most advanced and effective form of warfare available in that society, horses and chariots. And so ironclad chariots, they were pulled into battle by seasoned war horses. They were terrifying during that time. They could break up enemy lines and tear through masses of troops, leaving only destruction in their path. And they could cause armies to collapse and fall. And so don't miss the statement. Their trust is in God, not in this fancy army thing, that these chariots and horses. They are confessing that victory doesn't rest on who has the most horses and chariots, but their victory rests on the power of God. They trusted God more than they trusted their chariots. Their hope wasn't in their own ingenuity or strategy or power, but it's in God. And the psalm says something that we should just remember. Trusting in anything but God will cause your life to collapse and fall. And it's the same today. And this is actually our third point. We trust God. So we stop believing the lies that anxiety tells us. And when we can do that, we can move to trusting God. And so think about this. Like, what are the chariots and horses that people trust today? Or another way of putting it, what is in your life that makes you feel safe? Like, what do you run to make yourself feel like you have it all together? You know how we get to that thing? Like, if you can't think of what that thing is, ask yourself this question. What is the one thing that I need to have to be okay? Like, I need that. If I have that, then I can be okay. You know what I've discovered about me? There tends to be just one thing I long for more than all the other things. I long for approval from others. I need other people to like me, and when that happens, I feel safe and I feel secure, and I think that others are going to like me more. And guess what? Guess what I've discovered? Not everybody likes me. They just don't. And so when I discover that someone doesn't like me, it can be crushing. I mean, it's a big blow in my life. In fact, just like the psalm says, my life crashes and it falls. And so remember the psalm? It says the chariots and horses collapse and fall, and so it's the same thing for me. When I constantly seek approval from others, what happens is it just collapses and falls all around me. And you know what? It's the same for you. Whatever it is that you trust in more than God, it will collapse and it will fall around you. In fact, it'll fall on your head. So what about you? How do you answer that question? What is the one thing that I need, to have to be okay? For some people, it's a career success. Like, you need to be successful in your career so you can feel safe. For others, it's just a creature comfort. You got to have time on that screen every day. And if you don't, you just can't make it through life. Or what about a home? Does your home have to be a certain way or in a certain neighborhood? Do you have to have your kids doing just right? And if they're not doing just right, then you just can't make it. Do you feel that you just have to be the perfect parent? Is it morality? Do you tell yourself that you always have to do the right thing and say the right thing to be okay with yourself? But what about your relational life? Do you find that you need other people to always recognize you? Do you long for status? Do you find that you need acceptance? You see, these are all the things that we run to for assurance. And we could have sat here all night talking about the things that we run to for assurance in our life. And in fact, these are the idols that live in our hearts, and these are the chariots and horses that we tend to put our trust in. You see, life is filled with uncertainty that brings anxiety, but God is our rescuer and peace. So think about this. What is causing anxiety and chaos in your life right now? What do you need God's help with? What is it? What are the chariots? And then with that, what are the horses and chariots that you are putting your trust in? Is it a situation? You're just trying to change that. And you think you can fix it, whatever it is. You know, in the New Testament, there's this wonderful promise that really just brings a lot of clarity to this whole topic. And it's in Romans 8, which a lot of people call just the greatest chapter in the Bible. And it's just a reminder for us, like, if we want to know the gospel, if the gospel wants to take root in our lives, then learn chapter 8 of Romans. Well, tucked in that chapter is a wonderful promise. We all know it. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his promise." That is purpose. That is a wonderful promise for us. during times of anxiety. That we can look at that and we can say, you know what, even though this time is not good, even though there's a lot of uncertainty just circling around in my life, rather than trusting that horse or that chariot that I tend to run to, this text, this promise says, you know what, it will work together for good. And so this promise should give you great comfort when you're faced with anxiety and uncertainty. You know what? God is working it out for good. And then the verse, it rests on the sovereignty of God, which is great. That is good news for us. God is sovereign, which means, you know what? I don't have to be in control. And when I'm trying to be in control, I've noticed in my life that just creates anxiety. And so because God is sovereign and because God is good, what that means is that we can trust that all the things going on in my life right now are going to be worked out for good. The promise doesn't teach that we'll never face sickness or death. Instead, it teaches us that we don't have to fear the circumstances of life because, you know what? God is in control and I'm not. He works good for us in every circumstance. And eventually, he'll bring us safely home to glory. I mean, even death is not the last word. And so what happens when you don't trust in God's sovereign control? Here's how it kind of works out in our lives. I mean, you might try to take control yourself in harmful ways. And this plays out through manipulation, sometimes trying to dominate other people. You might weigh yourself out with busyness or frustration. You might make security and wealth a bigger priority than God's kingdom, or you might worry, or you might become preoccupied with the bills and money, and then all that stuff just becomes kind of your main obsession. All because we don't believe our Father knows what we need, and He's taking care of us. And what we all need every day is Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. He has fought the great battle of death, and guess what? He has won. He has paid our sin penalty, and by the grace of God and through faith in Jesus, we don't have to fear even death, our greatest enemy. You see, the gospel of Jesus ultimately is the answer to all of our anxiety problems. He's your help. Your help comes from God. And so may we all say from the bottoms of our heart, from the bottom of all of our hearts, that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And His name is Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for your help during uncertain times. We thank you that though horses and chariots and our efforts will fail, you will never fail. Lord, help us trust you more than everything else. Help us love Jesus more and more. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.